السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. إن الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمد عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. This is Wicked Muslim 360 and I'm your host Tariq Abdul Rashid, Grassroots Project. We always first and foremost give thanks to the Most High, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we thank Him for His countless blessings. We seek refuge in Him from the evil of our actions and our deeds. And we thank Him for giving us the guidance and making us Muslim and helping us to be the best of people amongst the nations with the best understanding of guidance of the nations. Brothers and sisters, we welcome you. For those who want to call in after we begin to discuss our issue, you can call in 646-716-4478, and all you have to do is press 1 that your question or statement can be entertained after we have our discussion. Alhamdulillah, brothers and sisters, when we look at the society we live in, we always have to look at the society we live in and pay attention clearly. In the large cities of today, the individual has become increasingly alienated from his or herself. And there's many reasons. One of them because of the lack of knowledge of the Creator, which a product, we become a product in the consumer producer process. One, because we lack the knowledge of our Creator, because our Creator is what gives us our identity. And today, living in these large societies, people have begun to pick up identities from different cultures and aspects of the degrading factor of the lower society. And so by doing so, they have increasingly alienated themselves from themselves. Also, we have become a product in the consumer-producer process, basically trapped in an infantile and unfulfilled search for illusory self-gratification, that when you become a product of your environment, you begin to be consumed by ideas, customs, and traditions, and alienated values that have nothing to do with your true self. And so you become trapped in an infantile and unfulfilled search for illusory self-gratification. The self-gratification, you look almost like a leech. A leech sucks off the blood of others. So in order for you to survive, you have become a leech, meaning you have begun to suck off of everybody else's behavior patterns, thinking patterns, culture, customs, traditions, so that now you have become a self-inseminated person. You are not truly living out your true identity. So you're trapped for this illusory self-gratification. They call it the illusory self-gratification because it's not the true self. It's only the part of self that clings on to those things that we want to gratify our pleasures for. So we begin to artificially inseminate ourselves. For instance, the demonization of the Muslim American experience has been a long dilemma. Number one, because of the skin color, and I don't want to beat the drum like many people do to try to blame everything on the European structure. But part and parcel, there is a blame that is continuing through a systematic attack by the European system. But I do want to make some clarifications so that we won't sound like the old songs that have been played over and over and over, making excuses for ourselves, for other people who have put us in a situation seeming like that we justify our actions based on what has taken place with the Black Muslim experience. So we want to make sure we're clear with this. Now, looking at this and reflecting on this, this demonization of the Black Muslim American experience, and I truly specifically underline Black only because out of all of the races, the Black race suffers, have become victimized, and part and parcel, self-victimized. And not only people who have perpetrated your victimization, but you have also created in this infantile your own self-inflicted wound of your conditioning today. So therefore, the demonization is a process. It is institutionalized. It is socially engineered, particularly to destroy the potentiality of a nation for long years from the history, now that you have two strikes. You're colored and you're Muslim. So the demonization has become more intense. So this self-gratification, this demonization, which basically comes from, we talked first, not having knowledge of Allah, and also the producing consumer process, which brings about this search for illusory gratification, which causes them not to reflect and to consider where he or she is going. And so therefore, there are many people who suffer from the manner in which the system operates, the system that operates as a result of their conditioning. However, they continue to play an active role in the running of the very system, which, unbeknown to them, is the pain and the invisible walls of their prison. So basically, this demonization of the Black Muslim American experience goes so deep. What are we talking about, demonization? It is to say, to pseudo-speciate. What is pseudo-speciate? That means that you always otherizing the other people, meaning you always call them names. Everything is the result of you, right? Meaning when they use words like terrorism, they always attribute it to a particular group, which is the Muslim. That's what we call pseudo-speciating, or they call the Black criminal. He's the reason why crime exists in America. So that's what you call pseudo-speciating. You otherize the other people, constantly blaming them that they are the cause of crime, poverty, and all the things that we're seeing today in society. You know, the stereotypical statements that's made by the media, the racism bias conditioning process, right? So the American society, whether you believe it or not, accept it or don't accept it, the reality of the American society, and I am talking about the country itself, because the country doesn't run without except by people. The American society that we are living in is a primogenetic society. And if we are not to speak of individuals as criminal, can we then refer to a criminal society? If we're not going to speak of individuals as criminal, then can we then refer to a criminal society? I think we can. And we must describe our society as criminal. Indeed, I think we must. As Edwin Schur said, our criminal society. And why is it a criminal society? Because basically, human behavior, regardless of what type, like other forms of behavior, can only be defined and understood in relative terms. And the human behavior only reflects meaning related to the behavior of other human beings and can best be understood in terms of human relations. So criminal behavior is human behavior, but there is a design that creates the criminal behavior or the criminal mind. That is, there is something that is introjected, something that is internalized, something that no one truly is born with. These are elements of our society. It is because of circumstances that creates criminal minds and criminal behavior. Now, we are not going to make excuse like the old drums that played in the early days to say, this is why we should get what we got to get. A man got to do what he got to do. I don't believe in that. That is ludicrous because, first and foremost, you cannot justify two wrongs to make that right. But there is a summarized internalization process that refers to the process by a subject as the result of the conditioning, because you're not born a criminal. No one is born with a criminal mind, like the scientists and the psychologists try to pseudo-speciate the black race by saying, by nature, these people are criminals. This is one of the greatest biased lies that has been institutionalized for many years. So basically, the American society, the demonization of black Muslim American, is because of certain aspects of its society. And we start with the most powerful influence of that society, which only is the institutions of learning, that these things become very prevalent in a society. Now, of course, the result of this conditioning and the exposure to certain types of information, these definitions, these interpretations of what we consider reality, are deliberately restricted, and they're restricting the experiences and opportunities, and also the observational learning and the imitation that has become upon individuals in this infantile producer-consumer process. That is to say, where do we get our ideas, brothers and sisters? What is the most influential institutions on the face of the earth that gives us how we should perceive things, how we should see things, how we should believe things? Think about it for a moment, and you will bear witness to the fact of this reality, that the demonization process comes through first a society that has been cremogenetic from the beginning. Now, that is to say, it is not delimited or discontinuous. An individual, as is typically implied by established social scientists, so the individual, the subgroup, or the subculture, as you would call it, are individual or collective only in the sense that they uniquely represent the social history and the experience, socialized perspectives and values, and the behavioral expressions endemic to a social system as a whole. That is to say, in layman terms, that basically whoever rules the society, whoever controls the laws and the amendments, are particularly the creators and the creators of the mentality of a society. Based on your leadership, based on whatever you govern a nation, whatever it is, the Constitution, man-made laws, whatever it is, will be the product of the thinking and the behavior and the direction that the rest of society will be under. And we can see quickly that demonization of the black Muslim experience in America has become so degrading, so much that when you look within in neighborhoods, look in the employment avenues, look into the corporate avenues, look into all the departments that brings about people's social progress or educational process, you will always see there is infiltrated with some kind of bug. What I mean by a bug is someone else's mind, someone else's thinking has been implanted in the mind thinking and the mindset of the individuals who are being ruled by or ruled over. That is to say that these individuals, these subgroups, and the social system in which they exist and with which they interact are continuous, each mutually defining the other, each interdependently interpenetrating the other. Everyone is interacting, each to some very significant degree, helping to shape the other. So in the individual or in the group, we see the social system. We see it. We see the social system as uniquely represented by that individual or those group or that group. In him, we see the system of social political relations in a microcosm. So the Black American criminality, the demonization, whether in the individual or in a subgroup form, is a microcosmic reflection of the microcosmic American system, and beyond that, of the system of the European global domination. There is no doubt about that. Why is this? Because Karl Marx said it, the ideas of the ruling class will be the ideas of society. The ideas of the ruling class will be the ideas of society. That means whoever rules the nation, governs the nation, whatever ideas they're instituting becomes the rest of the people's institution. So therefore, the Black American Muslim criminal demonization, the demonization to dominate a particular behavior, a particular thinking for those individuals, a particular stereotype that puts them at the bottom of the race of the pyramid. That means there are peasants. It's the peasant mentality that has been created. So as I say you are, then I create the situations for you to be. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy to create a certain image, a stereotype, a certain bubble for a particular people so that the demonization has to be lifted by the individuals who's been demonized. Instead of saying that we are in this situation because of them, so we might as well stay in the state and the condition that we're in. No, we do not want to sing that song anymore. We want to relieve ourselves from the demonization or the projectionist, the one who's creating the image. We must change the image. We must define the image for ourselves. We should not allow others to define us, because that's why the demonization process takes place, because we are not defining who we are here in America. We're not defining our legacy, which is the Islamic legacy. Of course, not forgetting our history of our culture and tribe, that we cannot even link ourselves to the lineage of where we truly come from. We have been broken from all right angles, but there is research out there now. There is avenues for you to begin to not only know the Islamic history, which is the greatest and pivotal point of the Muslim plight in America, but also to know yourself as a descendant of the African people. You must trace your race and your culture back to a lineage, back to a genealogy, so that you could know from the potentialities of those individuals how important it was for them to know their roots. A people without a root is like a tree that has no leaves. And when you don't have roots, you don't have a foundation. A people without their history is a people who are nomads, people who just wander and they call themselves all kinds of things. We become psychedelic, historically psychedelic. So we take from everybody's culture and we say, I'm this and I'm that and I'm this and I'm that, because you've lost something. So people who have lost something always try to grab onto anything that tries to give them some self-inflicted identity that has nothing to do with themselves. So they're lost in an infantile producer-consumer process where they begin to become just part of the society, just like the scum of the sea. So we need to relieve ourselves from the demonization and the projectionist who makes these kinds of ideas within the system. So therefore, the intra-psychic motivational orientation of the Black American individual or even the subgroup is driven and structured by nature of his or her social, political, ecological encounters with the European Americans and the Europeans in general. And that's who rules the society. Let's not be fooled. Do not think because you got a Black man in office that we're safe and slavery is over. See, you must not deceive yourself that who is shaping the social, political, ecological encounters are your encounters, which are the European Americans and the Anglo-Saxons. These encounters are not ones between equals, nor are they ones characterized by mutual respect and reciprocity. It's not no reciprocity. It's not. It's not mutual respect. These frontiers of desperate intergroup encounter are the nodal points at which both Black criminals and Black law-abiding citizens are produced. So the Black criminal and the Black law-abiding citizens are also created by the same Eurocentric society. That's why you will find more Blacks in correctional facilities watching over other Blacks. Because now the new century will be that it's not who is colored, but who will side with the infrastructure and the policies that is designed to keep a system or keep a people under the system in check. My name is Tariq Abdul Rashid. This is Grassroots Project. Grassroots Project. That is significant to knowing your grass roots and knowing the foundation and nature of things. Of course, when we talk about history, Islamic history is our key point. And knowing as a culture of a people, now we begin to know our history as a people, which is a legal form of ashabiyya, knowing your tribe, knowing your condition, knowing your people, knowing your descendants, how great and potential they had back in those days. You have to understand, brothers and sisters, that most of the Sahabas that you read in Sahih Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, Tirmidhi, Bilal ibn Rabbah, who is people who descend from Abasha, from Abyssinia, right? We have Usama bin Zayd, an Abyssinian. We have Salama, who was Abyssinian. Many of the Sahabas that sat in the midst of the Prophet dominated the population of the Arab world. And if you understand anything of history, that you will know that Abyssinia was the place where they migrated, which was one of the dominating factors in that time. And the people who inherited the earth, majority were Abyssinian, dark-colored people. So most of the people who entered the fold of Islam, was many of them, they were dark individuals. And there were people who sat amongst the messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Of course, if you hear it from a different story, from a different race, you would think that all the Sahabas are Arabs. Now, my point is not to bring out a race thing, but we need to clarify some things because, again, we need to know Islamic history along with history of Asabiyya, something that's legal that we need to know who are the rulers and where did we come from. Great Sahabas, Hassan al-Basri, another dark-skinned man. Luqman, the wise, who are in the Quran, another dark man. And we can go on and on because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that the people who inherited most of the earth were people who were dark, aswad. Okay? So many of the Sahabas that you read, you don't even know that their history goes back to Ethiopia or Abyssinia. Okay, so it's very important that this demonization of the Black Muslim American experience comes from a social system, a political system that continues and feeds off of continuing to keep you in the dark about the reality of yourself the reality of the world. So when we look at these things, we see that most of this is because of us and them. Us, because we don't seek knowledge. We don't seek beneficial knowledge, like the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, and many of the scholars, خَيْرُ الْعِلْمِ مَا نَفَعَ. The best knowledge, brothers and sisters, is the knowledge that which benefits. وَإِنَّمَا يَنْفَعُ اللَّهُ بِالْعِلْمِ مَنْ عَلِمَهُ ثُمَّ أَعْمَلَ بِهِ. And verily Allah only benefits with those who have knowledge, who acquire it, and then they act upon this knowledge. It's not just getting knowledge, it's acting upon this knowledge. وَلَيَنْفَعُ بِهِ أَعْلِمَهُ ثُمَّ تَرَكَهُ. And he does not benefit, one, but when he acquires it, but then he abandons this knowledge. What is the greatest sacred knowledge? Having knowledge of the Creator, knowledge of one's way of life. That knowledge was stolen. Not stolen, but consumed or concealed. That knowledge is now back to us. That beneficial knowledge, the true knowledge that brings us out of this world into the hereafter. That knowledge that increases your fear of Allah. That knowledge that look within yourself and your errors so that you can correct them. That knowledge that benefits you knowing your direction, knowing your history, knowing that where you're going to go, knowing where you came from. All of this is all incorporated, but this is the demonization century where that now names and labels are being thrown around, particularly to a certain kind of race. We need to free ourselves and stop looking for a savior, the savior of humankind, okay? The savior of humankind that has been misled and misdirected for centuries. We have to begin to start thinking beyond a Democrat and a Republican. Brothers and sisters, you have done a disservice that you have involved yourself and believing the savior will come from any of these departments. Of course, you don't believe the Republican, but you are deceived about the Democrat. You believe that the hope, the change, the savior, the correcting and rectifying the sunnah will come from a democratical party. It is one of the most absurd kind of concepts and ideas that many black law-abiding citizens are creating this false vacuum of hope. We must see ourselves beyond a political system that has been in place for years, centuries, a system that is based on global domination. How could you believe that there's going to be someone from the global system, from the globalization of American society, and believe someone from there will come and bring you across Zion? You are sadly mistaken. Not sadly mistaken, but ignorantly mistaken, to a high level of ignorance, a blameworthy form of ignorance, after all the history that you have claimed that you've studied, Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, all those eras, true leaders who died for the cause because they were trying to free you and I and our children from the globalization of the European Eurocentric society. But now you believe that they have change of heart, that they now will bring about your success by choosing for you which one you should choose. When he is in charge of the rules, when he is in charge of the game, when he is in charge of amendments, when he is in charge of your direction in the institution, the same grandchildren from those great grandparents of the masters are still in charge of you. And you believe that just because you see someone that kind to look like your kind is for your kind, and you believe erratically, irrationally, that the hope will come from a Democrat. You have done yourself a disservice. You have done yourself a disservice. And you can't use change based on the middle class structure of actors and basketball players and rappers. This is how they even threw in your face. Today, they give you the most shortest month of the year and they call it Black History. How dare you? How dare you? 28 days, the shortest days of the month, And guess what they give you? BET, where Cotton comes to Harlem, Martin, and the Parkers, and you call this black history. How dare you insult us? But you Negroes who are in the higher economy of the society, you also part of it. And BET is nothing but black exploitation TV. That's why it's BET. This is not the true legacy of the history of blacks. And to do us a disservice, February 28 days of so-called black history is a slap in your face. And you went for it. So now they give us on BET all black shows that's controlled by the same system of globalization. You have lost your mind in Africa. You came here with an idea, believing that your freedom is freedom because you don't have chains on your hands and feet. But your mind is still in prison. Your heart is still in prison. Your soul is still in prison. The prison of consumer materialism that has coughed you up like a bad piece of snot and brought it to you and put you on the street. These are many people who suffer from the manner in which the system operates. And as a result of the conditioning, they continue to play an active role in running your life of the very system which, unbeknown to them, is the pain and the invisible walls of their prison. You're like a goldfish born in captivity. Some people don't even realize that they are trapped. This is a society that has become so addicted to entertainment in order to function. And in some cases, not even prepared to face the hard realities, let alone change or sacrifice. A system, by definition, is an entity with various subparts that neither have a separate existence nor function apart from the law of the old home in which they exist. So when religion becomes conformed to the culture, it can no longer provide a reliable path to spirituality. And our public lives begin to lose its moral compass. And the two dominant forms of this so-called religion in our time have failed to provide the spiritual guidance that might inform a moral conscience. Both the conservatives and the liberal religion have become a culturally captive forces that merely cheer on the ideological camps of the Democrat or the Republican, which both put them on each side. They bog down with the same thing with which each has identified. And a religion as a political cheerleader is veritable false religion. And the conservative religion has become preoccupied with words of dogma. And it has replaced an emphasis upon faithful living and action. And a certain lifestyle is associated with conservative religion. But brothers and sisters, it reveals more about the cultural and the political biases more than the meaning of authentic faith. So the religious language has little or no connection to moral action in a society. That's why we're breeding a cremogenetic society of America. My name is Tariq Abdul-Rashid. This is Grassroots Project, American Muslim 360. We're talking about, brothers and sisters, the demonization of the black Muslim American experience. And we also want to make something clear for those who came late. We're not trying to beat the same drums of saying the reason why we're in this condition and why we can't get out of it is because of the white man. That is not what I'm saying. And I don't want to create that kind of mentality or that kind of audience. We are our own perpetrators of our own victimization now that we have the resources. What we're doing is trying to relieve ourselves from this demonization, from this projectionist who for many years have destroyed and labeled us to be certain things. And I say the black Muslim American experience because first you're black. It is not your race to be a Muslim. A Muslim is your way of life. So do not say, well, I'm not black anymore. I'm Muslim. Don't be a fool. You need to know your asaliya. You need to know your tribe and where you come from, and don't forget it, because they ain't going to forget where you come from. That's two strikes against you. You are a second felony offender. You're black and you're Muslim, and you're living in America. So I make sure I want to clarify. I am not saying Muslim American, because I wasn't American first. I was black first. And then I became Muslim. So there's a three-dimensional aspect here, and we want to clarify it. So therefore, we don't want to sing the same old songs, those songs that keep you in slavery emotionally with entertainment. We want to be clear on what we're saying here. So the spiritual values must enter the public square. The spiritual values. And without moral values, our political life, it quickly degenerates into public corruption, religious confusion, and social injustice. So we don't want to manipulate and twist our deen for political self-serving and ideological purposes. That's what we need to relieve ourselves from, brothers and sisters. This is a process that are both Eurocentric creations, as are the nature and the quality of their social relations and their functions. So in this context, the black Muslim American criminal, and why did I say that? Because we, as Muslims, became victims of criminalization. There are Muslims who are involved in corruption. There are Muslims who have become involved in this process. So those who are obeying the laws of the Eurocentric criminalization process. So the black criminality is no accident. It is no coincidence. It speaks to an apparent need in the white American community to induce criminality in a significant proportion of the black Muslim American community, as well as it is a need to perceive African Americans as innate criminals. So just as it exhibits the related need to perceive the average African American as innately intellectually inferior. So what I'm talking about, brothers and sisters, please follow. Because what they're doing is don't care what you are today. You have to have the one-track mind. You must belong to the melting pot, or else you will be demonized as other, as we say, pseudo-speciate, otherizing people. So if you're not an American in concept or Americanism part of it, then you will be otherized. That's why Bush years ago said, either you are us or you with the terrorists. How clear can you get it, sisters? How clear could you get it, brothers? Either you're with us or you are with the terrorists. That means there's no neutral ground in America anymore. They are disembargoning the middle class. It's only the rich and the have-nots. That's what they're breaking down today. You must understand it. That's why the most dangerous element of our presidency is the fox. The most dangerous time of presidency of today is the fox, not the wolf. The wolf will let you know what he's about, and he'll start by showing his teeth, and he'll start slobbing from his mouth to let you know what he is about. The fox is someone who is winning you over. Before he begins to reveal who he truly is, he will win you over with a good philosophy, with good flowery speech, with good presentations that looks like hand-me-downs that are beneficial for you and I. Let me tell you something about the wages, the raising the wages to $9. How dare you slap us in the face? You know why? If you know anything about the economy, you know inflation is high on the rise. That's why they call it Verizon. Verizon, right? So if the dollar itself lacks the value of true standard value of money, then how do you think $9 an hour is going to affect us in any kind of way when inflation is going up, right? And the dollar is going down, it's devaluating, What kind of game, a monopoly game, that you playing with us? But for the Negro who feels like his slave mind, where when the master used to throw him the old chitlins and throw him the bones after eating offering, and said, be grateful. Be grateful for what you got. The master, the mind of the slave begins to say, what better food could we enjoy that the master has given his blessing? This is the concept that we are beginning to accept. Of course, 71% of the people will say $9 an hour is great. Of course, because it's better than what you came from. But I ain't going to be the one to say, so be grateful, like the master or the masterminds. Be grateful that you're getting that. And then praise the person for doing such. They only allow you to reach a certain point of your life and make you believe that you're coming out successfully. So you have to understand the economy itself by flooding the system with more fake paper money will only cause more inflation and also a breakdown in the economic prosperity of itself. Why? Because the value of money could never be paperback. It can only be the value of itself. That is gold and silver. So therefore, don't be deceived. As things rise, your $9 will not meet the requirements of living at all, period, because of the value of the economy of what they call money itself. Brothers and sisters, please understand, this is not no talk just to be talking on the radio, to just be saying something because you got a show. No, brothers and sisters, this is about reflection, because your condition is going to change whether you hear it or not. It's real. We are in it. And you must understand it. My name is Tariq Abdul-Rashid. This is Grassroots Project, American Muslim 360. Now, understanding the process, because we're living under a system. Now, of course, we look at our situation. In order for us to realize our God-given potential within our lifetimes, we must break the cycles of stagnation. The stagnation that prevents us from doing and also abandoning the methods that were failing and showing that they are ineffective. Number one, is that we need to understand the God-given potential within our lifetime. We must break the cycles of stagnation that prevents us from doing by abandoning methods that have proven ineffective in fulfilling our responsibilities as a people committed to Islam. That is, whatever methods that they come up with in Washington will never, they all failed methods. And we will continue to repeat these things over and over and over as long as we live. But it will be ineffective. Why? Because the plan that they have is not the plan of Islam. And we can accomplish this only by changing our current condition. This requires courage, commitment, and above all, critical introspection. That is to say, you be able to criticize the things that you're doing that is not the way it should be done. Begin to criticize those things that you need correction in yourself. In order for you to relieve from this demonization, this projectionist, the experience that you're going through in here in America or wherever, you must begin to have critical introspection. Because what happens is that we get so involved that we don't realize that this creation of transforming and conditioning reality, it is what they call introjection. What is introjection? This is not just a show. We're going to learn words. We need to increase our vocabulary. So these people are talking on a different level. And that's why we are fooled, because they're relying on our ignorance to make the errors. Introjection refers to the process by which the individual, how you incorporate and accept the prohibitions and the values and the attitudes and the commands of others. You take it on as it's your own, even when they're accepted. And the incorporation may work against your own objective interests. This is what's happening. And we're believing that we're beginning to be successful and come out for so long. And in addition to it, sisters, in addition to it, brothers, listeners, it also means that the person, by a powerful party, through various means, forces a weaker party to accept or behave in accordance with his projected values, his projected attitudes. This is what's happening. This is what's happening. That we are not aware of it because we got immune to the projectionists. Don't think the master, and when I use the word master, I don't mean it in that other way, because a person's master is when you submit and you subjugate yourself to a person and his attitudes and whims. That's why you think you're free. You think you're free because your terminology of being a slave is only old. You got to get up to the progressive time. Slavery is different now. There's different forms of slavery. First, the slave of your desire. You have become a slave to your hawa, that Allah says. And do you not see those who take their desires as their god? See, that is this is the new way of slavery. You enslave yourself by your own desires, exceeding the limits of them, that you are gratifying yourself in this self-gratification, illusory self-gratification. So now these ideas that you get, this infiltration, this is an infiltration of your mind, though. They have infiltrated your mind with the values and traditions. That's why you go out and party. That's why you go out and celebrate these days. Guess where they come from? They don't come from any religious institution that came to us as a legacy. It didn't come from Noah. It didn't come from Abraham. It didn't come from Ishaq and Isaac and Jacob. It didn't come from Jesus. It didn't come from Moses. It didn't come from any of these prophets. These traditional values that you accept readily are made for pleasure. These are inseminated by the projectionist. That's what they call introjection. So the slave begins to be a new form, that you are subjected to people's values. You are subjected to people's domination or their demonization. So you are the one who allows the demonization to continue to be upon you. You got to relieve yourself from the projectionists. And even if you're not in power, at least now you are in power of your thinking. You're in power of the choices you make, and they don't come from some other culture or some other idea or some other system. There are, of course, things that we do have to abide by, and I'm not an extreme. But we need to decipher how those things affect us and how do they benefit us. But this is the time where people are just doing things based on their artificial inseminated minds. So when the projectionist is the more powerful, the chief reinforcer and punisher, his projection becomes not only an instrument of ego defense self-deception, but also an instrument for provoking self-deception in order, right, the target of his projections. Who are the targets? Everyone is a target, but particularly the black Muslim in the experience of American or primogenetic society. Tariq Abdul Rashid, Grassroots Project, American Muslim 360. Now, the distorted reality, brothers and sisters, is a falsified consciousness of the projective target through introjection. So it becomes the reality, distortion and falsification of the consciousness of the projecting body. And so the projective relations between the relatively powerful, which is the white community, and relatively powerless black community basically constitutes an authentic process of transformational social interaction. That's what it becomes. So the dominant community, by controlling the rhythm of the black community life, and it controls to a significant extent the projection and perception of reality. So who's your reality maker today? Come on, think, brothers and sisters. This is real serious. This is not no radio show, just a radio show. We're going to learn something. We're going to be informed. We need to be informed. That's the beginning of being able to change your situation. We got to stop being demonized by self-demonization or accepting the demonization. Someone must be able to free themselves from the slogans and the stereotypes and have some courage. When they started calling us terrorists, there was no one up there saying, trying to free themselves from it. What they were trying to do is be accepted. There's a difference. No, we're people of peace. We're not with them. We're down with you, the group that you said is the good Muslim. We're not down with the bad Muslim. So they put us in categories again, and you fell for it, these leaders. They wasn't going over there trying to reevaluate or release themselves from the demonization. They were just going to apologize for something that they didn't even do. And that's the mind of a slave. Master, I'm sorry. Sorry for freeing myself. Sorry for trying to gain my freedom. Sorry for being a human being. That's the kind of talk that we were hearing. And till this day, people don't want to be victimized, so to speak. Meaning, they don't want to seem like a perpetrator. But yet, they are truly victimized. You know, so they feel that they have to fit in. And we're not trying to fit in. As a people, or servants of Allah, we should try to fit in with the description, the sifat, that Allah gives us. The projective relations between the relatively powerful, which is the white community, and the related powerless black Muslim community, constitutes an authentic process of transformational social interaction. So now, we need to look at the dominant community by means of projection. Basically, they act in ways that organize the motivational system of the black community. So the black bourgeois who think that they're successful, the rap stars believing that they made it on their own, the movie stars who believe that they made it on their own, the Oprah Winfrey's who believe that they are released. That is a lie. They will never, never let you leave the plantation except in a body bag. Or you'll be leaving while they take away all your resources. So when you start to be like Abdul Rauf, the basketball player, who didn't stand up because they wanted him to pledge allegiance to a Tagut flag, he got criticized as being un-American. And then Uncle Tom Muslims with the handkerchiefs on their head began to support the system instead of supporting this brother. That's because people believe that their motivation and their transformation is freedom from their own selves. For anyone who can say, I will cut your resources, I will fire you from your job, and then I will also demonize you once you are no longer working for my plantation, because we don't know how to get enough. The reason why you're playing these sports and getting this money is to get the money and leave the NFL and leave, but you become a product, a consumer producer process by staying on the plantation of entertainment until you get into trouble in society because they're relying on your own history so that you become a victim of what you was victimized, but we freeze you because you had good skills. So as soon as a football player gets out of pocket, boom, they're ready to take away his career. You're still a slave on the plantation. You're just a privileged Negro. A privileged Negro who's making money and then standing on the video making fun of the rest of the 22 million exploited blacks who are victims of Americanism and the social cremogenetic society of America. So don't come telling me you are successful. You are successful on the ground rules of the enemy. And your enemy is anyone who allows you to be subservient to them in any kind of way. Whether it's the social or the political or the educational, you still a slave. My name is Tariq Abdul Rashid, Grassroots Project. Freedom is submission to Islam. Submit to the Lord of Allah and you'll free yourself from idol worship. Submit to the word of Allah and you'll free yourself from social political degradation. Submit to the will of Allah and you will free yourself from your own desires. Submit to the will of Allah and you will free yourself from this introjection and this demonization by those who follow the footsteps of Shaitan. A'udhu billahi. Brothers and sisters, in conclusion, looking into the introjective projection, once it's accomplished, when through its manipulative use of reward and punishment, they begin to become the judge and the jury over you. They put you back in the system. So now they begin to use reward and punishment, control information, definition of reality. The white community inculcates in the collective personality of that community a complementary and supportive set of values and the norms and patterns of behavior. As you begin to be like them, you are inculcated the beast. So brothers and sisters, our lines are open. Our lines are open for those who want to call and make a statement. We have the number. All you have to do, those who are listening now, all you have to do is press 1. And we will entertain your statement or entertain your question. Or we will continue our discussion until the time of 6:30. But in between, you want a question, press 1. For those who don't have the number, 646-716-4478. Also, I would like to announce that Al-Rahman Islamic Center here, Atlanta, Georgia, you can go online, www.alrahmanislamiccenter.org. For those who want to donate, we have a big project out here, and if it's $5, if it's $10, whatever you would like to donate to the masjid cause, here in Atlanta, Georgia, at 1643 West Haven Drive, zip code 30311. Also online, you can pay on PayPal, www.alrahmanislamiccenter.org. For those who would like to donate for the cause and get the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the project, you can also see online what we're doing. It was a church at one time, and it's now a masjid with 2 floors, a kitchen, about 15, 20 rooms upstairs. We have a classroom. We have homeschooling 5 days a week, Islamic studies, and we're trying to build a community there. So please, brothers and sisters, if you're listening, please donate. You can pay it on PayPal. Inshallah, again, www.alrahmanislamiccenter.org. You can pay $5, $10, whatever is in your means. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Brothers and sisters, we also have many lecturers coming up this event, March and April. Imam Siraj Wahaj was here 5 or 6 times. We had our brother from Philly, our Imam, our Sheikh, Imam Shadid Muhammad from Philadelphia. He will be joining us again in April soon. We will be announcing these things as we go on, inshallah. And many are. We had brother Imam Muhammad Mendez, who gave us a tremendous history of Islam and the Black America, Black Muslim experience from back in Timbuktu. He was here 3 or 4 weeks ago. It was a great turnout, and we thank all you brothers and sisters who donated. Inshallah, also in our discussion, when we talk about criminal behavior, because today what is happening in the Black community, and we must talk about the Black community, we look at this kind of criminalization of the Black male. Now, in light of the foregoing and the forthcoming, we must recognize that within limits, the alleged black crimes is a socio-economically functional. They're basically socio-economical benefits for the status quo. What is the status quo? The status quo is ultimately symptomatic of the societal needs of powerful segments of the American class structure, and its dysfunctionality depends on the criminal behavior of the black community. Every system you see, when it comes to prison, relies on the black criminal. When it comes to drugs, relies particularly on the black criminal. Now, although there are people who are victims of these things, but you must understand, if you read statistics, that the criminal mind is the most dangerous element of the society, they're saying, which is the black one. And that's clear. I read the percentages. And I'm putting this out there so that we can be able to realize that even as Muslims, there are Muslims still victims of recidivism. They're still doing crimes as Muslims. So therefore, black and Muslim. So now, this is like Nagasaki and Hiroshima. A Muslim who's black, living in a cremogenetic society called America, it is like Nagasaki and Hiroshima. Why? Because there is two levels of demonization, brothers and sisters. First, you've been demonized because of the race that you came from, and now you're demonized more because you have taken on a religion that they see as public enemy number one. So therefore, they're relying on the dysfunctionality of the black criminal Muslim mind, mostly, and in this context, we must ask and answer the following questions. Why do white Americans need to criminalize or otherize or pseudo-speciate the segments of the African-American population? What is the socio-political function of alleged African-American criminality and self-destructive behavior in an American society? And how does alleged black American criminality sustain American status quo? And how is, brothers and sisters, the criminal motivation induced into the personalities and the social relations of some African Americans, and for what reason? Now, looking at this, we begin to realize that the self-destructiveness, the utilized alleged criminality, and the victimization of African Americans are to be eradicated in black American communities. That's the bottom line. And changing this perspective, the rates of black-on-black homicidal violence, the assaults, and the victimization, though they are biased and inaccurate, are very alarming. The percentages cited in the prior statistics had said something ominously significant, but not only about the collective character of black America, but all the more so about the collective character of the white America. That is the percentage in the prior statistics. And that is, in the eyes of white America, an exaggeratedly large segment of black America is criminally suspected. Just like one of those stars, I believe it was Forrest Whitaker, was mistaken to rob something in the store. Now, here's a movie star. He's a movie star. And they suspected him, arrested him for shoplifting. And then they wanted to give him an apology. Now, you know these people had to see Forrest Whitaker's face all over the camera. How could you mistake him? But that is not the case. You still shouldn't mistake him whether he's a star or not. But because of the color of his skin and the statistics of white America trying to demonize a particular people. So they're white America, an exaggeratedly large segment of black America, is criminally suspect. And this is true relative to the black American male, particularly. So in the fevered mind, I would say, the fevered mind of a white America is a cosmetically guilty. They are cosmetically guilty. And his guilt is existential to its very existence. And for him to be alive is to be suspected, to be stereotypical, accused, convicted, condemned for criminal conspiracy on the streets, in the subways, in the elevators, in the parks, in the neighborhoods, from late childhood. He is feared, suspiciously scrutinized, cautiously approached for suspected criminality. That is a reality. This is demonization, pseudo-speciating. It continues. So now, looking at this, brothers and sisters, what do you do about these things? We talked so much about it. Now, a lot of times, black-on-black crime, with black males acting as suicidal Manchurian candidates or mercenaries who unwittingly have been recruited to execute the continuing white American hegemonic assault on the African-American community, their own community, necessarily requires that their personalities be psychologically conditioned and transformed to play their assigned roles by the Eurocentric establishment. So they have created you into a Mediterranean countenance criminal so that now you begin to continue to perpetrate the criminal behavior like a leech in your own community because you are in an infantile bubble of a fish in a bowl that you will feed off of what's around you. They stick this little fish in the fishbowl, and all it does is suck up the urine and the feces. So this personal, they put them right back into the community without no solutions, without no kind of educational help or any economic help, put them right back in the community, and he begins to feed off of that same community that he victimized, just like that fish is sending the bowl to clear out all the urine and the feces of the other fish. That's the kind of Manchurian candidate that they have created in our community. We must free yourself from that. That's why they say niggers don't know how to live together. I heard this white man say this. Niggers don't know how to live together. And that's a bad terminology. But what happened? It seems like a self-fulfilling prophecy. And that's something that many of us don't want to realize. So therefore, on the same level, you may accuse your Eurocentric counterpart criminal inspector, as we will call him, but you also have to accuse yourself because now there's no real excuse for changing your condition. We have Islam, the best way of life. We must use it for our purposes to free our souls, continue to worship Allah, and continue to look at a great example for us, to free our character from the degrading factors of self-inflicted personalities that have nothing to do with our spiritual growth. My name is Tariq Abdul Rashid. This is Grassroots Project, American Muslim 360. Now, at the same time, the white American self-fulfilling prophecies and falsifications of the African personality, the white American falsified African identity is introjected, actualized, and interactively programmed within the body and the ego complex of the collective African-American personality, principally by means of projective self-fulfilling processes. If you understand that, you will know that they rely on your ignorance to make the same mistakes. And the pathway that they created, they are creating a pathway that will not allow them to be the perpetrators anymore. They will allow you to be the remote control of destruction. That is the self-fulfilling prophecy. So what we have created you or demonized you to be, you become. So you gotta, in order to free, get rid of the projectionists, get rid of the demonized, the demonists, the one who demonizes you. Change your perspective of how you look at their system, how you interact with their system. On what level would you interact? Do you allow still them to change your clothes? Do you still allow them to change your cars? Do you allow them to bring in the latest fashions for you? Or do you think for yourself to produce something that will be of you? That's what we have to do. We're losing culturally as well. We're losing in a fashionable way as well. So these are the things that we need to realize within our structure as a people living with our history of black descent, and also the most important, a Muslim of such race living in a primogenetic society called America. So therefore, we have America, we have the Muslim, and we have the black man. And it so happens most of the people who are converting to Islam are black. But there is a new trend that the Latinos and the Latinas are becoming Muslim. So now this shows that Islam is not about a race. It is clearly disillusioning the people from the perception of believing that this is an Arab religion, that many people from different dominating cultures are becoming Muslim. And even the soldier that was on I think it was Guantanamo Bay, one of the soldiers became Muslim. It is even affecting them. No matter what they do, they will put a Muslim in jail, which is the worst kind of thing, because all he's going to do, if he's sincere and truth and upright, he's going to give dawah, right? And even their soldiers are becoming Muslim in the army. They're going to turn their guns on the Muslim, and then they come back Muslim. So there's no way that you can stop this. They're beginning to see the percentage of how many Muslims in the infrastructure, how many Muslims are becoming, how many people are becoming Muslim in your same kingdom, like Pharaoh. Look at the magicians they took Shahada in his own court. The ones who were perpetrating the deception became Muslim. Look at his own wife. She became Muslim and lived in the highest place of paradise. May Allah bless her. Look at what is happening. Senators are becoming Muslim. Congressmen are becoming Muslim. But I'm talking about the senators in Congress who leave the White House, not the ones who stay there. Because believe me, you're not going to change anything. So I'm talking on a large scale of changing this perception and this demonization that they cannot stop. This is not a man-made way of life. That's why. It's the religion of Allah. And Allah don't care who don't join it. He's going to make it the dominant factor of society, no matter what the European-centric build-up, no matter how many drones that they get, no matter how many armies that they together, no matter how many missiles and no matter how many bombs. This deen is going to be the dominant deen of the world. And we don't do it by bullets and planes. And we don't do it by nuclear active bombs. We do it by the basis of dawah and the basis of the bomb of du'a, which is the powerful weapon of the believer. This is how it's going to transform America. And it's happening right before their eyes. And they're at the frenzy. That's why they're putting the pressure so much. The deception is so thick with clouds because they see the reality and the light at the end of the tunnel. They know it's going to be Islam. Brothers and sisters, American Muslim 360, Tariq Abdul Rashid Grassroots Project. Look at the stages of Mecca. Go back to the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. See how he transformed a perverted and an adulterous society into a religious one just by his character and, of course, a little defense battle, a lot of defense battle for those who opposed him physically with their weapons. How did he do it? Because he came with divine revelation, something that has nothing to do with man's made. It'll have none of his fingers on this. None of his plans is involved. None of his institutions is involved. None of his kind of conspiracies is involved. This is divine intervention, something that no human being has the capability of even imagining to stop. They are looking at the symptom, the people they persecute, but you can't persecute the religion. You can't persecute the one who designed and sent the religion. And by killing off the Muslims, will not stop Islam from growing. Read about what Abu Sufyan said before he became Muslim. The more that we persecute them, the more we demonize them, the more they come into Islam. I'm going to the caller today. We have 973-444. You're on.
Yes, how are you?
Well, alaikum salam.
Yes, this is just an observation, not an attack, but an observation. Are the people becoming Muslims, are they actually becoming Muslim with the real Muslim life, or are they just accepting Islam and becoming ritualized, and is the real Muslim life coming with it? But I know that many people are converting to Islam, but that seems to be where it's at. They're just converting and getting away from, I guess, a certain type of lifestyle. But where's the real Islamic life, though, that's being seen throughout the country or throughout the world?
You're absolutely right, brother, that there is, this is the problem of application, that people are coming into the fold of Islam just by being satisfied with the kufi and the thobe and the name, but we're not seeing that character that befits or go along with the Islamic identity. This is a dilemma that we also are struggling with. Basically, I was given an overall, as you said, you're correct. This is a problem we have, and that's something that we as Muslims have to begin to realize, that this deen is not just by label. It's action. The Prophet ﷺ, we see that he invited the people to Islam based on his character. So that means his application of this deen was based on, of course, he was receiving wahi, but the believers that were with him, they applied Islam, just like knowledge. True knowledge is not knowledge unless you act according to it. So yes, this is another dilemma that the Muslims are facing too, that we have to begin to exercise true Islam for the viewers, for the people, not particularly for them, but setting the great example that we constantly claim in all the lectures that we be having and all the slogans we have on the cars, Islam is the way and Muslim is number one. Those things are sloganist. We need to begin to have a critical application of what the true ingredients of Islam should be when we look into the seerah and the believers who made it possible through their actions. These are the people that we do have to start implementing. And yes, brother, you're right. Even if it was a criticism, it's a correct criticism.
Mm. Well, thank you, my brother. I'm a new Shahada, and I've been hearing quite often that statement from many people saying Allah, you'll see the people entering religion, but that's what they're doing. They're entering the religion and they're going to the masjid, but, you don't see the Islamic life. So thank you, brother.
And also, brother, let me say this. There's another thing, too. This is why I mentioned Allah, no matter who doesn't be on this bandwagon, still, there's going to be a group of people who will always revive the Sunnah. They will always practice the deen, no matter who goes astray. The Jama'ah is not in numbers. The Jama'ah is in character and moral, meaning that even if it's five of us, we are the Jama'ah. Even if it's one person who is implementing Islam based on his actions, he is the Jama'ah. He is the group that Allah is talking about. So therefore, overall, Islam will become dominant. Why? Because it's the deen of Allah, and it's not the deen of the people. And I say this too. You can't judge Islam based on a Muslim, but you have to judge a Muslim based on Islam, because there's a total difference. Islam is the way of Allah, the deen of Allah, the religion of Allah, and the Muslim is the one who's supposed to submit to the way of Allah. So therefore, overall, the deen of Islam will be sufficed, and the believers, whoever they will be upon that victorious way. And in context of that ayat, that was when the Prophet of Islam finished his mission. You've seen all the people come into Islam practically though, they came into the fold of Islam, and that was at the last stages of the mission of the 23 years that the Prophet of Islam finished his mission. Now we're dealing with another dilemma of us Muslims in this generation trying to bring it back to the way of the first generation, which was the best generation, inshallah.
All right, thank you, brother. Assalamu alaikum. Forgive me for not giving the salams when I first came in. I'm just kind of learning.
MashaAllah, brother. Continue to keep learning, brother. And then you'll begin to be able to decipher more. But may Allah bless you and reward you and make you more successful and make you those strong Muslims that we probably don't see within our communities. And we also pray for those weak Muslims that Allah give them strength and help them to practice, inshallah.
All right. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. It is very important, our brothers and sisters and audience, especially when we have Muslims who just became Muslim, it is very important that these individuals be give the right impression of Islam, because we don't want to run anyone away from Islam, and we always want people to get a better understanding of this deen that they converted to. And inshallah, that's why it's very important that we set the great example for people so that we can understand it. And like our brother said, we do need to begin to practice, not look at the quantity, but look at the quality. You know, yes, we do. There's a lot of people who brag about, we're 1.3 billion Muslims, alhamdulillah, and we're satisfied. But we're talking about, out of that percentage, who are the practitioners of that 1.3 billion? Who are the practitioners? That's the key. Remember, the believers in the first generation, it was very few of them. But they dominated because of their iman. They had strong iman. Their iman dominated the forces of those who rejected. So therefore, it is very important that we do set the right character of a Muslim and in our deliverance. So inshallah, that's part of our change. That's part of our struggle. Muslims who come from, most of us who convert to Islam, revert to Islam, we have some baggage. So a lot of times people think just because you took the chain that it's going to automatically change you into this great Muslim, this ready-made push-button Muslim. It's not going to happen like that. But at the same time, that Muslim must struggle what he was struggling with or neglectful with in his jahiliyyah days. He has to come to grips with those ways. And that's the training process that we were talking a couple of weeks ago, purification of your heart and purification of your soul, purification of your history. What I mean by that is the baggage that came from your genetics and your history and your background, your upbringing. Those things we challenge as a challenge for us all every day. So when Muslims come into Islam, we have to start to rejuvenate ourselves to the rules and regulations that we once were outlaws to. So inshallah, Allah will bless us through our struggle and our sincerity. And again, for new Muslims, the basis of this deen is tawheed, knowing the oneness of Allah, getting knowledge of Allah, knowledge of the deen, knowledge of the Prophet Muhammad, and all those things, peace and blessings be upon him, establishing yourself in the deen, continuing to learn about the deen and the history of the Sahabas, the great scholars of Islam who contributed to this deen by their studies and their energy and their dedication and memorization of Quran and the Sunnah, and writing many books, scholarly books, that will be beneficial for the Muslims today, so that we won't become victims of this non-practice attitude or this surface Muslim concept that we begin to talk today by our caller. We thank him, and we thank all of you brothers and you listeners. We at the five-minute mark of our show. We thank all the listeners, and we hope that you benefited from anything that was said here. And anything that I've said that was wrong came from myself, and anything of the truth comes from Allah and his messenger, which he always speaks the truth in the book. And we ask Allah to guide us and increase our knowledge, wisdom, and understanding and spiritual insight. Forgive us for the sins that we've committed knowingly and unknowingly. May Allah protect us from the torment of the grave and the hellfire. Protect us from the signs and tribulations of Ad-Dajjal. We pray for all our brothers all over the world who are suffering from all kinds of things. May Allah suffice them and purify them through their sins. Wa quli qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah wa alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammadin kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka Hamidum Majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammadin kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka Hamidum Majid. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You've been listening to Grassroots Project, American Muslim 360, and I was your host, Imam Tariq Abdul Rashid. Assalamu alaikum. Until next Saturday at 5 p.m., we'll see you inshallah. Assalamu alaikum.